So we're grateful again, and we're grateful that you've come to serve with us and to enjoy this service. And what I want to do now, I'm going to introduce my brother. Come on back out here. I almost picked your notes up. It was a good thing I didn't. I recognized, boy, he'd be, I don't know what would happen. We'd all be in for it if I took his notes. But this, again, is Scott Turner. Scott and I met, we're a part of ARC, which is the Association of Related Churches. And it's an association for people like us that just, crazy people like us, that somehow think that we're going to plant a church in the middle of nowhere with no money and no people. And yet look around. Look what God has done. And so we're part of this organization that just helps people like us network and provide funds that we can utilize together and we, you know, we used money and now we're sending money to other church planters. We've helped people plant already this year. And so ARC is a big part of our life. And we met at a CPR, which is the Church Planters Roundtable in Birmingham, Alabama, in 2006, I think it was, or 2007.
Seven.
2007. And Scott, I keep saying ARC, I want to say ARC a lot. Scott and his wife Mary, there's no couple and there's no church that has participated with us more in supporting us, in believing for with us, and praying for us, and just coaching us than Scott and his wife Mary in Irvine, California. No church. They have been with us from the beginning. Just invited me into their home, said, fly out here, we'll cover everything, flew out there, was sent out with a laptop that we used to run, a $2,000 MacBook Pro they just gave to us. They believe in you, they believe in this church. And again, Scott's one of our board members, and it is just an honor and a privilege to have him. He's a few steps down the road. And the reason we have a guest speaker in on a day like this, on an anniversary celebration, is he's down the road a little bit, and he's going to be able to stir us up. He's going to be able to put a shot in our arm as a church. And so those of you that are our first time with us today, if you don't like him, come back next week. It's all good. It'll be different whether
it'll
you like
better.
Him or like him or lump him. Just come back next week. And don't forget about that Starbucks card. But we love you, man. I'm going to turn it over to him. He can do whatever he wants except for snake handling and drinking strychnine. Okay? We talked about this. All right? All right. Love you, man.
You too, man. Oh, man. It's so good to be with you guys. How are you doing this morning? One more time, how are you doing this morning? Okay, gosh, I feel like there's a great divide. I just want to jump down and get closer to you. But I'm really excited about what we're going to talk about this morning. And the reason I brought this coffee cup up here, it actually has my props in it. Just a second, let me get those out. Okay, there we go. I'd like to approach today not as the typical, hey, let me tell you a sermon and teach you how much I know. I would rather that it were you and me, and I simply invited you to coffee, and it was you and me at Starbucks, and I said, hey, bro, or hey, if you're not bro, you know, come meet me down at Starbucks, and I'll buy you whatever you want. You can have, you know, a caramel macchiato, a vanilla latte, an Americano. Go ahead and get the venti. Go ahead. Go ahead and get whatever snacks you want, and, you know, I'm not going to buy you the CDs that they have there, but I'll buy you anything else that you want. And let's just talk because God put some things on my heart that I really want to share with you. And in fact, it's so important. There's some wishes that I have for your life, and they're even for my life. But God so impressed these things on my heart that I just wanted to spend some time with you, spend a half an hour with you, and really talk to you about them. Because if you would do these things that God has put on my heart for you to do, your life would be so much better, so much richer. And the scripture I was thinking about for this, because it's kind of good to have a scripture to back up your talk, you know, in the church world. And it's 3 John 2. And it's going to come up on the screen here, but it's dear friend. And that's kind of how I want to approach this today. Just if we were like dear close friends, there would be a few things I'd want to share with you. And he went on to say, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. But those four key words there, I wish you would. And I just want to talk for a few minutes about some things that I wish you would do. Because not only would your life be more rich and would be better, but this church, you know, I had a really lofty goal for our first year. We planted our church on the campus of the University of California, Irvine, a school that's kind of like a mini UCLA, 30,000 students, and we're right on campus, and we planted it on January 21st, 2007. And so we're a year ahead of you guys. And I really felt like before the church started, there were some things that God had put on my heart. So these are kind of themes that I've been living the past couple of years. And, you know, when we started the church, it was an incredibly, incredibly scary time. In fact, I called one of my mentors about a month before we were scheduled to launch, and we had to get some advertising out and stuff, and I started to kind of backtrack and backpedal, and man, he just got in my face and all up in my business and just called me a few names and just spurred me on and encouraged me to launch that church. But I say that to say this, that a lot of you guys that have been in the ministry for the last year, even serving and working and doing different things, I really believe there's so much more for you as a church. I really believe there, you know, that Pastor Dan and Stephanie were called here by God to launch this church, a life-giving church here in New Jersey. And for some of you that are here for the first time today, or you're just kind of checking it out, this also applies to you today. But I wish that you and I were just sitting at a Starbucks, you're sipping on your coffee that I just graciously bought you, you're snacking on something, and we're just sitting and talking. And that's kind of how I want this to be today. But in saying that, I want to start with the first wish that I have for you, and we'll just move on from there. But the first wish is this: I wish that you would let God's love saturate your heart. Let me tell you, I grew up as a preacher's kid, and from the age 12 till the age 19 and a half, at 19 and a half, I got kicked out of Christian University, lost my scholarship, and had an interesting opportunity to change my life at that point. But for those better than 7 years, I ran from God. And one of the reasons I ran from God was my dad at church was a very happy, outgoing pastor. I grew up in a mega church. But at home, he was a very angry man. And man, I'm telling you, when we got a whooping, it was always with the belt. And he would whip that belt off kind of like Zorro. And I mean, he would just work us over. And I tell you, what happened in my heart was I kind of projected that, and my dad now is a great guy, we have a great relationship, still a pastor, massively changed, love him, he's a good friend of mine. But back then, man, I hated him. And I projected that hurt and that hatred and that anger. I thought, you know, if my natural father is angry with me, then the Heavenly Father must really be ticked off with me as well. And I started a 7.5 year running from God and turning from God. And that's why I know this is kind of a simple thought, a simple wish. But some of you guys are here today, and I really feel like your breakthrough today is just letting God's love saturate your heart. Kind of like when you put a sponge underneath a faucet. And that faucet runs over the sponge. And there's a point of saturation where you cannot get any more liquid in that sponge. You know what I'm talking about? That's how I want, and I wish that God's love would what God's love would do in your heart and in your life. Because let me tell you, that's everything when you know that you have a God who knows you by name. You have a God, a Father God, who loves you, who's chosen you, who will never forsake you, who will never leave you. Look at this great scripture. This is incredible. It says here in Isaiah 49, he says, I will never forget you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. That's how much God loves you. After I got kicked out of Christian University, I moved to California and was just going to do my own thing. And I was up at Fresno State University. And that summer, I took like 16 credit hours trying to get back on track with school. And I had an encounter with God on campus while I was living totally the opposite way. And God's love that day really touched my heart, and my heart broke, and I realized God's loved me this entire time. And in a 2-week period of time, I found myself moving to Uppsala, Sweden to go to Bible college. And I just had an absolute kind of 180 degree turn and started to go after God. Well, while I was at Uppsala, it's an interesting place, and coming from California, it was a lot colder, for one. It started to get to the winter time, and what happens in Uppsala, Sweden is the sun kind of disappears. And the sun comes out for 4 hours. It rises and sets in 4 hours. And so while we were in school, the sun would come up, and while we were still in school, the sun would go down. So it was dark all the time. I'll be honest with you, I started to get depressed. The drinking rate in Sweden goes way up. the suicide rate in Sweden goes way up during the winter. Now I realize why, because it's just depressing. And especially coming from sunny Southern California. And what happened was, right in the winter, I realized that I was just down and kind of, you know, that experience that had happened where God's love had touched my life back in California, it kind of dissipated. And I went with some friends. They weren't even really friends, they're just kind of acquaintances, but went to Norway, and we were going to go skiing for a couple days at a place called Opdal. And we were staying at this farm, and just because it was cheap and it was free. And I remember I got so down and so, I was so hurting that it was about 2 a.m. and I went out and it was really literally like knee deep, deep snow. And I just kind of trudged my way out. And I was just kind of looking up to heaven and I was just kind of questioning why I was even there. And then I just kind of dropped my head and I was in this depression and I was ready to just give up on what I thought was the call of God in my life and just go back home and just throw in the towel. And I'll tell you, the most incredible thing happened. God showed up in that moment. And I was just actually just weeping. And the tears were kind of running down my face onto the snow, kind of melting the snow. And I was a mess. And it was like a hand from heaven came out. Not a physical hand, but it was like I felt something just kind of touch my chin and kind of lift up my head to look to heaven. And God started to speak into my heart at that moment. And I'm not going to tell you what he said because it was between him and me, but he started to speak into my heart. And then he said, "This is for you." And at that very moment when he said that, a shooting star started. And it was kind of like in the movies. It was almost like slow motion. And it just started over here and it just went. And I was just like, just in wonder, in amazement. And the Bible says that God's the glory and the lifter of our head. And some of you have you have hurt you. Maybe you think God's mad at you. Maybe you think God's disappointed you. Maybe life didn't turn out the way you thought it would. I wish that you would have one of those experiences. I wish that you would let the love of God just melt away any of the hurt, any depression, any barrier that's keeping you from being everything that God wants you to be. That's my first wish. I wish you would let God's love saturate your heart. Let's keep moving here. Here's the second wish. I wish that you would know the thrill of obeying God. And what I mean by that is I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about what Pastor Dan and Stephanie did as they came to New Jersey. I'm talking about really stepping out. And the way that I'd like to, the analogy I'd like to use for that is, it's like, let's pretend we're up in a plane for a minute. And in that plane, you don't have a parachute on. But the door's open and you're being kind of nudged towards the door. And it's the Holy Spirit that's nudging you. Have you ever felt that nudge when God just kind of nudges you? He doesn't kick you out the door. He doesn't throw you out. He doesn't make you do things. But there's that nudge. Anybody ever felt that holy nudge? Four people. Okay, great. No, I know you have. And so it's that nudge. And so here you are and you're feeling that God is calling you to do something. And what I'm talking about is this is something that just happens a few times in your life. But there's that nudge. And I really wish some of you would go ahead and give into that nudge. Because let me tell you, once you go ahead and jump out, it's like a free fall of faith. And it just seems like it's just you and you're in this moment. Let me tell you, in that moment of that free fall of faith, every scripture that you've ever heard or learned comes alive to you. Your relationship with God as you're just falling. And you know, he's the only one that has you covered. He's the only one that can keep you alive at this moment. That's the type of faith that I'm talking about. I'm talking about some of you, God has been nudging you to do something that when people would hear about it, they'd be like, "You're going to do what? What is it that you think God called you to do?" And it's something that's totally against culture. It's something that's totally a huge leap, a step, free fall of faith. And let me tell you, I wish for you that you would know that freedom of that free fall of faith. Let me tell you, there's no other way to live. And God has called us to live by faith. And God has called us, and trust me, it is a rush when you know God's called you to do something. You don't have the resources to do it. You don't have maybe even the abilities to do it. Maybe you don't think there's any way. You think it's impossible. When you let the Holy Spirit nudge you, I'm telling you, when you enter into that free fall faith, I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know if it means selling a business, starting a business, going to school, dropping out of school, not any high schoolers. I don't know what that means for you. I don't know what that looks like for you. But some of you have been feeling that nudge. And I wish that you would get a hold of that. I wish that you would know the thrill of saying yes to God in some big way. Something that'll cost you something. Something that when you go for it, other people will really question it. They'll kind of wait and see how it all turns out. I wish that you would know the thrill of obeying God. My dad did this in 1978. He was a real estate developer in Madison, Wisconsin. In 1978, his salary was over $250,000. And he said yes to God. And he went into the full-time ministry. And he went down to Oklahoma and went into seminary. And it changed the course of the life of our family forever. But see, if my dad would have never taken that free fall of faith, if he would have never allowed the Holy Spirit to nudge him into that, our family today would not look anything like it does. And our family is just full on going for God in ministry. I have a brother that pastors in Charlotte, North Carolina. I have another younger brother that's going to plant a church. He's getting nudged out of the plane himself in the next couple of years. My mom and dad are in the ministry. My sister's in the ministry. And it all started because of the obedience, that those steps of faith that my dad took. And I would challenge you. Here's a scripture that my dad taught me early on. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it's this: trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. You know why? He is the one that will keep you on track. Some of you sitting here today, you need to trust God from the bottom of your heart. You know what that nudge might be? It might be that you need to jump in to this church and get involved. Roll up your sleeves and say, man, I'm here to do something great for God. I don't know what it looks like for you, but whatever it is, you know, Jesus always continues to ask people to follow him. The original guys said, follow me and I will make you. When we follow Christ, he makes our life into what he wants it to be. But trust me, there will be some of those moments in your life where you're going to have to get into that free fall of faith. And you're going to have to allow yourself to kind of be nudged out of your comfort zone. And you're going to know the thrill of what it means to obey God. Here's the third wish that I have for you. This is a big one. I wish that you would lead someone across the line of faith. And what I mean by that is that I wish that you and I would live beyond ourselves. You know, all of us have the same mission in life. We have different personalities, different styles, different gifts, different spiritual gifts, different passions. But all of us come back to that same mission that God has given us. And the mission is this: to bring other people into God's family. I'm going to ask you to watch this short video with me, and I'll tell you why. You have neighbors, coworkers, friends, family members that are far from God. But you know what? You're in their life. And God wants to use you in a greater way. And trust me, when we talk about the word evangelism, the E word, it freaks us all out. And you think about evangelism, you think about a guy in a white suit with a gold nugget ring, slick back hair, and a guy that's just spitting and preaching. Let me tell you, that's not what evangelism looks like. Look in the mirror. Evangelism looks like you, and God has called you and I to reach people. I want you to watch a short video with me, because this is really what your unsaved neighbors and coworkers and friends and family members and fellow students really think. Let's go ahead and watch that.
When's it going to happen? Here I am. There you are. Here I am, desperate for love, for truth. What are you going to do when you leave this building? Are you going to share with me what you've been learning here today? Or are you just going to bottle it up and pull it out next week for your friends? Now, when I say share, I'm not talking about every tactic you've used on me in the past, like judging my every move, telling me I'm a bad person, pointing fingers, giving me disgusting looks. And my favorite is when you tell me that I'm lost. I don't even know what that means, to be lost. Do you really think judging me is going to make me change? Would it make you change? Now, I know I'm a bad person. I've done bad things. But I don't need you to tell me that. What I need is for you to pick me up when I fall down. to be there when I'm broken. Yes, there's something missing in me. There's a void in my heart that I don't know how to fill. You have it. You have that thing that makes you whole. You know that person that I need to know. So I'm watching your every move. I'm watching where you go and what you say and do. Because I'm desperate for something real. I need something genuine to know that there's something more here than this. I mean, this can't be it, really. And I think you know that. Listen to me. I need you. I need you to be here for me. I need you to walk out right now, ready and willing to do whatever it takes. It may not be comfortable. It may not be easy. I need you to show me love. No matter the cost, show me what unconditional love really looks like. Stop telling me about this God of yours and show me who he really is. Honestly, I'll probably resist you. I'll probably argue with you and laugh at you. Even when you fall, I'll probably call you a hypocrite. But don't give up on me. Please don't give up on me. So I'm going to ask you, when's it going to happen?
So if you look at our world, there's 6.7 billion people currently on the planet. Out of those 6.7, basically 2.2 billion in some way say they're Christian. I think those numbers are skewed. But let's just take those numbers and work with those. That means there's 4.5 billion people that are lost, that are not in Christ. And if you were to take that number, it's a staggering number, and we would get a visual on it. If you took 4.5 billion people and you line them up around the equator, around our planet here, and you went chest to back, all the way around the world, that line of lost people wouldn't go around the world just once. It wouldn't go around the world just 5 times. It wouldn't go around the world just 10 times, or 20, or 30. It would go around the world 34 times. People that are far from God currently sharing space on this planet. Now, you and I can't do a whole lot about, 4.5 billion, but you and I could do a whole lot about 4 or 5 people in our life. And let me tell you, that's why we're here as Christians. You know, there's only a couple things you can't do in heaven. You can't sin in heaven, right? From what I understand, no sinning in heaven and no evangelizing in heaven. Why? Because everybody that's there is already in. In fact, what if there were a test to get into heaven? And here's the test. The test would be this, that when you step up before Christ and he says, hey, I'm gonna test you to see if you're really going to be able to come in here. And you're standing out there before the throne, and God says, okay, let's shut down all the lights. Now, I know that's not theologically correct because the glory of God illuminates, but let's just say you could shut down all the lights in heaven. Just kind of like big stadium lights. And it's just pitch black. And then Jesus says, if anybody here is here because of Scott Turner, I'm going to want you to just glow. Because in heaven, I think you can do cool things like fly and glow. That's just a personal hope that I have. But anyway, I'd like to ask you this question. What if that were you standing there and God said, let's put you to the test? Here's the question. Would there be any light in heaven? Would there be anybody else there because of you? Now, I realize you say, hey, you never know the impact of a life. And we won't know that until eternity. And I agree with that. I think that's good thinking. But you and I are called to reach people and to touch lives. We're called the body of Christ. Did anybody notice that Christ kind of already ascended? And that He's the head of the body, and he's giving us those thoughts and those strategies and the right words to speak. The Bible even says that we don't even know sometimes what to say, but when you go, the Holy Spirit will give you the right words to say. God is expecting you and I to love other people. And I'm talking about relational evangelism. This last Friday night, in fact, Friday night before we flew here, I really wanted to cancel it just because I wanted to get ready for the trip, but my wife and I got invited over with a bunch of unsaved friends. And they're drinking wine, and then they pull up, and we play Scrabble. And my wife and I won, by the way, which was a miracle. Because there's this lady that's a Scrabble freak. But anyway, the Holy Spirit was there. Bam, it happened. And nothing is impossible. If you knew my spelling, you know that's a miracle that just happened there. And any other spell checkers here? Thank God for spell check, yeah. And spell check doesn't even get some of the words that I put in. But anyway, so we're there, and I'm thinking, you know what? This is where Jesus would be. Maybe not playing Scrabble, I understand that. But Jesus would be hanging out with people that are very far from him. You know why? He said, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. I came for the people that were outsiders. I came for the people that actually need something from me. And I'd like to challenge you, if all your friends are Christian, and they all believe like you believe, they're all going the same way you're going, I'd like to say, are we really being like Jesus? And I'm not talking about cheesy evangelism, where you go into a movie theater, and you walk down and you see someone sitting there, you're like, hey, is that seat saved? And they say no, and then you say, are you? Did you get it? Okay, anyway, corny joke. I'm not talking about weird stuff. I'm not talking about strange stuff. I'm talking about being yourself and being salt and being light to a dark and a flavorless world. I'm talking about just relating to people and loving people and just accepting them. You know what Jesus did? Jesus listened to people. He was willing to be interrupted, and he listened to people. That's where it all starts. Just let people talk to you. Listen to them. Engage in conversation. But then you know what he did? He didn't stop just by listening, did he? He started to love them right where they were at, in their situation, in their pain, in their hurt. And then he always would lift them. Very simple little strategy to first listen and then to let God's love somehow touch their life. And then they'll be lifted somehow. And most importantly, Jesus will be lifted up in those situations. I wish that you would lead someone across the line of faith. On your way out today, after we have lunch and all that kind of stuff, there's going to be a plant that's on the table that has all the gifts that Pastor Dan was talking about. On that plant, you don't have to take one, but I'm going to ask you, you're going to go ahead and I'm going to ask you to pluck off a leaf of that plant. Just go ahead and pluck a leaf right off. It's a living plant. You might say, I don't want to damage that. Well, okay, it's a plant. We will grow others. It's fine. Or at your house, if you want to pluck one off of your bush, there's not a whole lot of real fresh leaves right now. It's winter. There is in California. That's why I live there. But here, it's okay. Just pluck it off of the plant that's back there. Let me tell you why. I'm going to ask you to do something between now and Easter, or maybe for the next couple months. I'm going to ask you to set that leaf somewhere that you'll see it every day. Maybe it's on the dashboard of your car. Maybe you'll tape it to the refrigerator. Maybe you'll put it on your vanity or your bathroom countertop or somewhere. You know why? Because over the next week and 2 weeks and 3 weeks and the next month, that leaf is going to start to wither and brown, dry up, even get some little holes in it, some spots on it, and ultimately it's just going to crumble and just be pretty much nothing. And you know what? I want that to be a sign for you and me, that there are people all around us that have been plucked off, and they are withering and dying spiritually. Are you here today? I said, are you here today?
Yes.
Let that be a visual for you, that there are people all around you that without God and without the love of Christ, they're done. Game over. They're part of that 4.5 billion that is lost and confused and hopeless. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He said in Acts 20:24, he said, my life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. Then he tells you what that work is. The work of telling others the good news about God's mighty kindness and love. I want to challenge you today to pluck one of those leaves off. Put it somewhere where you can see it. And remember that there are people all around you, just like that leaf, that are dying and withering and without light and water and the love of God. Here's the fourth wish as we start to close. I'm a preacher, so I've got some money up here. And I wish that you would become so financially free that you could first give, then save, then live. I think if you take the Bible and it's filled with money management, it's filled. Jesus talked about money more than he talked about heaven or hell. Jesus talked about stewardship, and not just the stewardship of money, but the stewardship of life. I would like to say this, if you're a Christian and you're here today and you have not yet understood the importance and the value that God has placed on money and on the money that he allows us to make. He gives us the power to obtain wealth. I'd like to challenge you today because God's system is really simple. I've got 10 $1 bills here. They're actually Pastor Dan's. Does anybody need some cash today? And there's $10 here. This is it. This is how God wants you and I to live. And trust me, you live his way, it's going to be a blessed life. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You live his way, trust me, it's going to be a blessed life. When this $10 comes into your life, God says, you know what? Give me the first and the best. So you peel off that dollar. It's called the tithe. Tithe means 10%. You say, God, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to honor you with my first and my best. And if you're here today and you're doing that, man, I commend you. If you're doing that today, or you're not doing that today and you're just not even sure about it, get in the Bible. Figure it out. Understand what God wants. God wants to be first in your life. What does that mean? God wants the first part of your day every day. You're already doing God first. God wants the first part of your week. Sunday is the first day of the week. Here you are at FLC obeying God. Isn't that awesome? First part of your day. First consideration in every decision. But God also wants the first part of your paycheck. It got a little quiet. But he wants the first part of your paycheck and my paycheck. Why? It's an issue of honor. It's an issue of this is already all his. It's an issue of will you honor me with your life? Will you trust me? Will you allow me to be your source? Because I will. And so that first dollar goes to God willingly, gratefully. Now the second dollar should go to you and should go into savings. You might say in the middle of this chaotic recession and chaos, think about it. If you had been doing this your whole life, would you have any financial problems right now? If you've been saving 10% of everything that came in your life, trust me, you'd have no worries. My wife and I do this. It's a 10-10-80 plan. Very simple. First 10% goes to God. Next 10% goes into savings. We just paid off, my wife and I just paid off all of our high interest debt. And let me tell you something. It's like a weight that is just off of us. And we've made a recent commitment to get back to that savings part. But I challenge you today to start positioning your life where you can first give, then save, then live. Now I realize if you have debt today, that second part might be payback. But ultimately, it should get to where we can give, then save, then live. It's the will of God. It's in the Bible. And I'm convinced that someone who calls himself a Christ follower and does not give God their best and what he's asked, I really question their entire walk of faith. I really do. You might say, that's pretty harsh. Well, let me ask you this. How can you trust God with your eternal soul and you can't trust him with your pocketbook? Tell me how that makes sense. Tell me how that adds up. It doesn't. Here's also what I'd like to challenge you to do, because I'm a church planner and I understand what it takes. Now, I've had the privilege of being full-time since day one, fully by the grace of God, and I realize that. I'm thankful for that. Your pastor is a bivocational pastor. If you don't know what that term means, it means he works a full-time job and he works as a full-time pastor. I'd like to challenge some of you sitting here today. Now, Pastor Dan did not tell me to say this. He did not know I was going to say this. I did get the 10 bucks from him. He's like, what's that all about? I just need $10 to get it for me. And he did. It was nice. Thank you for the $10 too, by the way, Dan. Thanks. But I'd like to challenge some of you today. I'd like to challenge you to make it a goal for this church to get your pastor full-time by the next year. By year 2, he goes full-time in the ministry. Don't you think that would be the will of God? Two people. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Don't you think that'd be the will of God?
Yes.
What's it going to take? It's going to take some generous, obedient people that live God's system of finance. Give, then save, then live. That's it. It's that simple. You know that tithing in the American church is down to 8% of Christians? That hurts. I think we should, in our churches, we should blow that number out of the water. We should say, man, everybody that comes here is understanding how to live God-first lives. Remember, this is a wish that I have for you because, like I said at the beginning, your life will be so blessed, so much richer when you understand God's way of us handling our resources. And I want to encourage you to do that. I wish that you would become so financially free. I had a friend, he was in... I pastored another church before pastoring the church I'm in. I'm also involved in another couple of church plants to help them get started. But there was this guy, his name was Rob. And Rob came to me one day and he said, Pastor, he was a newly saved guy. He said, I'm feeling kind of bad, I want to talk to you about something. He pulled his wallet out. I was like, okay. He said, you see, he had two areas in his wallet. He says, I cashed my paycheck. And I have all my cash right here in the first part. And then I take 10% of that and I put it in the back part of that. And here's what I've been doing. I've been going through my week, and as I need stuff and I need to pay bills, I just pull it out. I don't touch that 10%. But as the week goes on, I realize I just don't have enough money. So I dig into that 10%, and then if there's anything left on Sunday, then I give it to God. I thought, dude, you got it backwards here. I said, man, don't put that money in that back flap. Trust me, if I did that, I'd be spending it too. Man, God deserves not our leftovers. He deserves our best. The first part of what we do. The first part of our week. The first part of our day. The first consideration in every decision. Not though, I've tried everything else, I guess I'll pray. The first part of your paycheck. I just challenge you, and I wish that you'd live that way. Trust me, your life will be so much richer. Here's the last thing today. I wish you would experience togetherness at a much deeper, more intimate level. The early church had it. They had the spirit of unity. They were together. They even went as far as to sell all their possessions, and they held everything in common, and they were meeting needs, and it was a supernatural, unbelievable thing that was going on. They realized, hey, we're the family of God. And I'd like to ask you, and I don't want to pray with you in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to watch this video. It's a video of a father-son team, and you'll notice it'll explain exactly what's going on. But it just reminds us of the need and the power of togetherness and unity. And trust me, in a church like this, in a church like mine back home, that togetherness is everything. Because what is it? The enemy always comes in, doesn't he, to try to divide churches. He always comes in to try to cause strife. And try to cause offense. And tries to trap us in those snares. Now, I want you to watch this video. I think it'll move your heart. And then we'll take a couple minutes to pray. Let's go ahead and run that. You know, hours or maybe a day or so before Jesus went to the cross, he prayed a prayer it's found in John's Gospel. And he called out to his Father in heaven. And he said, Father, I pray that they will become one, even as you and I are one. Think about that. God exists in perfect community. It's a triune being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as one, together, tightly knit. Sometimes even hard theologically and in the Bible to separate, well, who does what and when and how. And they work together as a team. And you and I, being part of a local church that's 1 year old today, it's an amazing thing. God's called you and I to connect at a deep, intimate level. This is Jesus' prayer. And let me say this. How many of you have ever had Jesus answer one of your prayers? How about 10? How about 100 of your prayers? Some of you go, man, he's answered 1,000, Scott. 1,000 prayers. Can't even count it. Wouldn't it be nice, though, if you and I answered his? And we can. How? By coming together and being so tight and watching each other's backs. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, hey, it's by this love that they have for one another that it'll be proof to the world, Father, that you sent me. That'll be the symbol. That'll be the sign. That'll be what sets them apart from everyone else on this fallen planet. It'll be that there's love and trust and teamwork and unity and togetherness like this world has never seen. So I want to challenge you. Man, God already has that here. It's evident. I feel it. It's part of who you are. But some of you guys, you need to connect. Be part of that. Just go all in. You know, that's a poker term when you take all your chips and you just slide them right into the middle of the table. You say, God, I'm all in with my life. We need to do that. And I just, today, you know, I hope you've enjoyed your coffee as we've kind of sat. And I've told you a few wishes that I've had, but I really believe it. Just imagine your life. What would it look like? Imagine this church, what it would look like if we'd let God's love saturate our heart. Just melt away any hurt, disappointment, pain from the past, fear, doubt, unbelief, whatever. Just let it melt away. I wish that you'd get that nudge and feel that nudge and respond to it so that you know that thrill of obeying God in one of those free fall moments that we find ourselves in life. And also wish that you'd take a leaf today and remember that there are people all around you far from God, and you're there to be a life giver, to be a life saver, with our message as the good news, with our motive as love, with our method as just living it and sharing it in everyday thing. And I also wish that you'd become so financially free that you could first give God what is His, that you can save and then you can live and use that as a system in your, teach your kids that, live that out. Make that a value in your life. And then I really wish that we'd all come together, we'd experience that in a much deeper, more intimate kind of vibe than we have. Would you stand with me today as we close? I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, not to be religious, but to give that person next to you a little bit of sanctuary, a little bit of room to respond to God, to respond to his love today, his challenge today. Would you do that? Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes with me? No one looking around. I just want to be able to give you a chance to respond. First, I'd like to say this. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, he said, hey, first you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. There's a first part is saying, you know what? I can't save myself. I don't have what it takes. And see, if you're like me, friend, man, when God touches your heart, when you admit that, you say, God, I need you. I need salvation in Jesus Christ. I need to be forgiven. You say, forgiven for what? Forgiven for our sins. Forgiven for our mistakes. Let me tell you what happens. God touches your heart. He melts away your past. He gives you a brand new life. The Bible says you're a new person altogether. The old is gone. The new has come. And he just starts to flood your life with power. It's called grace. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. But yet, he gives it. And it's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. But that gift of grace is available today through Jesus Christ. But no one looking around, if you're here today and you say, Scott, you know, I do believe in God. I believe in his son, Jesus Christ. And today, I want you to pray for me. And I'm not going to make you get out of your seat. I'm not going to make you come down. I'm not going to make a big deal out of this. But it is a big deal. Trust me, it's a huge deal. It's a life-changing moment for you today. If you're here today and you say, Scott, that's me. Would you just pray for me? With no one looking around, would you just quickly lift your hand? Where are you today? Leave it up for a minute. Just leave it up for just a minute. No one looking around. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 hands. You can put your hands down. No one saw. It's between you and God. Let's take a moment right now because this is the most important moment that would happen today. Trust me. I know we got free lunch, we got all kinds of cool stuff going on, but this is the moment. The Bible says if you believe in Jesus Christ and you confess him or you pray out a simple prayer, the Bible says that brings salvation to your heart, to your soul. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me. I'm going to say a prayer, I'm going to ask you to repeat it, but make it your own. Out of a pure heart, out of a heart of believing, out of a heart of trusting God, Let's all say this together, especially if you're a believer. Just it's easy for you to say with me. And if you're one of those 8 or 9 people that raised your hand, I want you just to repeat this after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father. Let's all say it. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, right here, right now, I give you my heart. I can't save myself. And I need you. And I need your grace. And I receive it right now as a free gift that cost you everything, but it cost me nothing. So I receive forgiveness for my sins. And I ask that all my past failures, mistakes, hang-ups, habits, guilt leaves right now. And from this moment forward, I start a new life in Christ. And I will do my absolute best to fully follow Jesus for the rest of my days. Let's give them a huge hand right now, those 9 people. God, we worship you. We thank you. For those that rededicated or dedicated their life to you today, God. In Jesus' name. You know, Jesus said, when one person turns their heart over to God, all of heaven rejoices. Think about that. For you 9, you know what that means? All of heaven right now stopped what they were doing. The angels are going absolute crazy. This thing called the cloud of witnesses. You'll learn all this stuff. It's just this stuff. Everybody's going crazy for you right now. Up in heaven, your name is kind of written in the stars of heaven. All of heaven's going crazy for you because now you're God's. You're God's son. You're God's daughter. Now you're his. You're in his family. Everything's going to change. Trust me. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Sorry. I know it's kind of, you know, up, down, whatever. But just for a moment. If you're here today, there's one of those wishes or maybe a couple of those wishes that we talked about that you really felt like, man, that's what God's talking to me about right now. Maybe it's just letting God love you. Maybe it's that stepping out in faith. Maybe it's the being relational and sharing Christ with those around you. And you say, God, I just need your help on that. Maybe it's getting financially free and doing it God's way, living God first. Or maybe it's that coming together and getting rid of any offense and bitterness and things that are driving a wedge between you and others. And you just say, I know God's dealing with me on one of those wishes. That's you here today. Would you just lift your hand and just leave it up? Just raise it up to heaven. Say, I want God to know that he tugged my heart on that one. Would you do that with me? Just lift a hand. Just leave it up for a minute. I want to pray with you all over the room. I'll give you just a minute. Anybody else? Thank you for your honesty. We don't change unless we're honest with God and honest with ourselves and humble. Anybody else? Thank you. Thanks. So yeah, one of those things I really need to let God do in my life. Let's pray. Father, I lift up this awesome church. I lift up these awesome people. You see our hearts. You see our hands. And God, we just speak over every person that you are more than enough. We just receive everything that you have for us today. God, imagine a life that's living this kind of life, letting you love us, living by faith. God, that's reaching out to other people, that's stewarding our lives properly, and that, Father, has come together in a strong unity to make a difference in New Jersey, to make a difference in this world. God, imagine a church. What would that look like? God, I say it looks like us here today. And we lift up our hearts and our hands to you. We say, God, touch our lives and give us those things that we need. Father, I wish we would get a hold of these things. Father, we speak a blessing over every person here. We speak a blessing over this church. I thank you, Father, that the best is yet to come for this church. I thank you, God, that there's a fresh stream of redeemed lives that are going to continue to flow in to Family Life Church, God. I thank you, Father, that every single week people are going to receive Jesus Christ in this place. I thank you, Father, that seats are going to be filled. I thank you, Father, that this entire section over here will be filled with people, young and old. Father, brown skin, black skin, white skin. Father, people from all different walks of life, people from all different spiritual backgrounds. But Father, they're going to find Jesus Christ here at Family Life Church. And Father, we speak that this is a church, Father, that you are building. And your word says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We thank you. You are raising up this church, God, as a beacon of light and hope in this community. And we speak over Sukasana and the other areas around here, all the townships and all these towns that are just one after the other. And we speak that Jesus Christ is at work in this area. And we thank you, Father, that Family Life Church is going to experience an incredible second year. We just set that in motion right now. And we say, Father, let your blessing flow here, Father. Let your favor continue to flow. Father, we thank you that Pastor Dan will be able to go full time in ministry over this next year. Somehow, some way, you'll make it happen, Father. I'm committed to help that happen, Father. I thank you, Father, for a group of people that are here to honor you and to change the world together. Bring us together, God. Bind us together.